Hagoyin Harat Shach Zatzal speak very often about the godless of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Matter of fact, when he would relate to Reb Chaim Volozhin, would be miyachis Reb Chaim Volozhin that kol masov, that whatever he did was apiruach hakodesh, the extent of the godless of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And in a particular letter, in a sefer called Michtovim and Mamorim, he writes there, it's Michtov Nun Ches. And Rav Shach writes the following lines. Ba'anam talmidei talmideim shel goyin ha-goyinim rabon shel kol Yisrael, he says. Rav Chaim Volozhin. She yosad ha-yeshiva bi-Volozhin of yaskomes ha-gro zechet tzadik v'kodesh v'brocho. Ha-nechshav ke-echod min ha-rishoinim. Ha-mishamshim lefon of b'morim. The kach nimshchu adoyris, and from then on the yeshivas and so on went on and on of that ruach ad hayoyim v'al p'em v'siyazdu ha-yeshivos. And Rav Shach writes further, v'chol ma'aseyem einam tzrichim chizuk mi'itonu. Everything that they have achieved do not need any chizuk from us. Shiruach ha-kodesh shorso al kol ma'ase osu. These are the lines that Rav Shach writes concerning the achievements and kol masav of Reb Chaim Volozhin. He would say many times, he says, that we have no hasoge in the depth of the koyecho iyun of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And we also have no musag, he says, in the bikiyas. And we also have no musag in the combination of these two aspects of godless b'teira, the koyecho iyun of Reb Chaim, as well, he says, of the koyecho bikiyas. We also mention something that when the Gedolei Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin, one of the Gedolei Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Mechaber of the Sefer Nachlas David. The very choshev Sefer learned in Olam HaYeshivas on the Sechtes Bava Metziah, the Iker, who from time to time also quotes Chidushim on various sugyas from Reb Chaim Volozhin. A very tough Sefer, a very strong, opinionated Mefeirish, Reb David Tevel. He would bow to no one. And he was a great Talmud, a very loyal Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And he writes there, it was a Rav in Minsk. And the Nachlas David writes, he says, I want you to know, he says, Yodati Nemono, I know it very clear, for a fact. He says that regarding to be ma'ayin in one din, Reb Chaim once needed iyun, in order to solve one particular halacha, I know, he says, for a fact, writes the Nachlas David, Hoyechoyzer ala shas kishloisha yomim. In 3 days he went through all of shas, in order to be able to find the right and correct sources regarding a particular halacha. And he says, Yodati Namona. This is what I know to be as a fact, that for the sake of one halacha, he went through an entire Shas, but it took him only 3 days. 3 days he was able to master all of Shas. It's interesting to mention as well that it is said that you see the great emuna that Tzadikim had in terms of Ashgoche Protis, how Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, that Reb Chaim once needed Shas Mechama. It was a time of war. And the idea was to save oneself, you just had to flee. And Reb Chaim actually also was among those who fled. And Reb Chaim used to say that even though, of course, he has strictly, firmly, Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to do Ishtadlus. We are not permitted to rely on Nisim, and we have to do what we have to do. And the Ishtadlus is to try to flee and try to find a safe haven, right, in a natural way, not to rely on any miracles. But at the same time, Reb Chaim said as follows. The shtadlus that I'm doing in order to try to save myself, and the shtadlus that anybody else is doing, the truth is that everything, the outcome and the fate and the destiny, is already kosu v'chosu marosh. Everything is already written up in Shemayim, exactly what's going to happen in full detail. And Reb Chaim went on to say, what's also written up is even which train I'm going to take, he says. Which train I'm going to take in order to go to safety, and not only which train, but even the seat number, he says. Everything is exactly written up in a Shemayim. However, the gzeira is that we have to do our ishtadlus, even though Shemayim already has it planned the way it's supposed to be. This, again, is just another feature of Emunah, an extreme, extreme, of course, belief in Hashgacha Protis. Let me just mention one more nekuda which illustrates it in a fascinating way. And this is something that was related by Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore, Rav Ruderman Zatzal. Rav Ruderman Zatzal actually told it over to a Meir Tzvi Bergman, who was the son of Rav Shach. Tam Chochem, the Rosh Yeshiva, in his own right, in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak. And the Rav Ruderman, the way he related it, he said as follows. He said that in the Lojan, there was a Yid that, on account of his parnosa, to find and to earn a living for the sake of his livelihood, he had to travel out of town. So he got out of town, and this would be around the month of Adar, this time of year, before Pesach, but a month before Pesach or so. It turns out that a number of days before he had a trip planned, that he has to leave out of town for the sake of his parnosa, he dreams the following. He dreams that he's going to cross over a frozen river, which he was accustomed to cross. He was frozen, so it seemed to be safe to cross. But now in his dream, he dreams that he is crossing this frozen river in the way that he's used to do it many times. However, now in the dream, he dreams that as he is crossing the river, the ice melts. The ice melts in a certain area right underneath him. The whole wagon and his horses, the imamish, they fall. They fall into the depth of the river, and he drowns there and doesn't come out alive. This is the dream. And he plans again to go on a trip very soon. And apparently this was the route that he always takes, but this was the dream. Crossing the frozen river, and just as he's in the middle of crossing, right underneath, he says, the ice melts, everything goes down underwater, and he drowns. He wakes up tremendously upset, concerned. What does he do? Right away, he runs to Reb Chaim. He runs to Reb Chaim Volozhin, and he tells him the dream. And wants to know, does he have to be concerned about that dream? Reb Chaim tells him, Chaloimois shov yedaberu. Dreams, he says, are false prophecies. And he quoted a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Beis, Divrei Chaloimois loy malin v'loy meridin. And he told him, you have nothing to fear. Gemara says, Divrei Chaloimois loy malin v'loy meridin. It's loy malin v'loy meridin. Doesn't make a difference. Either better nor worse. And he said, you can go. The next day, goes to sleep, and again he dreams the exact same dream. He dreams the exact same dream that he's crossing that frozen river, and just somewhere in the middle, the ice melts, breaks underneath him, his wagon, his horse, everything just goes down. Drowned. Again he comes back to Reb Chaim. He goes to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim tells him again, the same answer. He says, dreams don't mean anything. The Yid goes on his trip, takes his wagon, his horses, crosses the frozen river. Sure enough, the ice melts underneath, and unfortunately, he drowns. You can imagine the complaints and the tinnitus. The family came to Reb Chaim and says, you were the one that told them not to worry about the dream. You were the one that told them to disregard the dream. Look what happened. Exactly the way he dreamed. This is the way it happened. Turned into a reality. And this is what Reb Chaim answered. This can all be a person like Reb Chaim. Listen, he says. If Chazal say, Divracha loimais loimalin veloimaridin, that is the truth. The dream means nothing. The fact that the ice melted in the area where you traveled, and happened to be a coincidence that you actually dreamed it. If you'd not dreamed it, it would have happened anyway. It has nothing to do with the dream. It's nothing with the dream. It's a Matthias, he says. It so happened that you happened to cross this river, and this is what happened, and you also happened to have a dream before. But it's unrelated at all to the dream. This is what Ibrahim said. He said. And then Ibrahim said further, if that same question would come to me again, a second time, by somebody else, I would give him the same answer. Chazal said, he was not at all convinced by whatever happened to change his mind. Just want to mention, this is the story. This is the story Rav Ruderman told it. This is an aside. There are maybe some side issues regarding, not the story itself, but maybe the shita, in terms of what does it mean, divrei chaloim, v'loimalim, v'loimaridim. And there is, this is a big discussion in the world of dreams, how halacha reacts towards dreams. And there is a Tash Beis, one of the earlier authorities, in Chelik Beis and Kufchov Ches, who writes that dreams are not to be taken as a certainty, but as a sophic, at least as a doubt. And what the Gemara said, disregard dreams is that you cannot extract money based upon any proofs from a dream. It cannot be a mitzvah moment. However, in the question of a sakona, the Tajvi says one should be concerned. Apparently, Reb Chaim Volozhin had a different opinion, or I have, as I say again, different sources. So this is just a side issue regarding Dinya Brinus. It's not just a simple parsha. But this was a Kopalim, as you see, this was Reb Chaim's opinion. This is the way he understood this Gemara, the Bechalim, Mr. Imam, let me read him. And Bechalal was totally unaffected by what happened, which would seem to contradict the theory. He says, no, he says. It had to be a coincidence, but nothing to do because the dream was around. Nothing to do because of the predictions of the dream. And again, the same question over again, I would pass him exactly the same way. Again, to show extreme emunah in the words of Chazal. Chazal said, that which happened is unrelated to the dream. Again, how firm and how strong one can really believe, of course, in the words of Chazal. Just want to tell you that a similar story actually happened. This is regarding Emunas Chachomim. From Chazal, even Emunas Chachomim. The Shol Barzam, the Chaim Lebrocha, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was a son-in-law of the Stipler. He was nifter young, due to an illness. That made his Rebbetzin, the Rebbetzin Barzam, is one of the places, one of the sources, if you want to buy this Sfarim of the Stipler, Kilos Yaakov, you know, so she's one of the sources what to buy for father's Sfarim, because the Sfarim store is not sold. As you do it. If you want to buy into the swan, you have to go to her to get it. So her husband died very young, and it's told that this is the he himself, the Shol Barzam, says, I once came into my shiret to my father-in-law, to say, the stipler, and I saw he was sitting there very upset. And he asked him, why are you upset? He said, why are you upset? He said, listen, he said, I had a discussion with my brother-in-law, the Chazanish. Chazanish, of course, was the Godel Hador. The stipler, of course, was no slouch either, you know that. But the stipler had totaled his battles completely to his brother-in-law, the Chazanish. He was in the battle himself completely. In other words, he bowed his head as if he's nothing. Any opinion that contradicted Chazanish would banish it totally. Chazanish said otherwise, and he would speak and learn quite often. Quite often. He brings it a number of times, many times, in his far. Stipler brings the Chazanish. He says, he was discussing an issue in Halacha, and the stipler says, I told my brother-in-law, the Chazanish, that there's a particular Chassam Sofer who paskins this way, regarding this question. And the Chazanish said, there is no such Chassam Sofer. The stipler knew that there is. And he saw it. He saw the Chassam Sofer. The stipler says to his son-in-law, can you imagine? Chazanish says there's no such Chassam Sofer. It must be my Chassam Sofer is a forgery. I'm so upset. It didn't occur to him that maybe the Chazanish made a mistake. That is not. That can't be such a thing. Maybe the Chazanish, somebody forged a tshuva that doesn't exist, printed it right in the middle, in the seder of the tshuva. His tshuva was inserted. That's a forgery. Turns out later that when the stipler showed the Chazanish admitted it. He said, I was aware of this. Some cipher. But the stipler himself would not take it upon himself that the Chazanish made a mistake. Chazanish said, there's no such some cipher. So what about my some cipher has it? Must be a forgery. That's a munas chachom. Extreme, extreme. In our mind, it's sort of like naive. If you take, to think that kind of thing. But this is, again, the godless of Gedolei Yisrael. A munas chachom. The godel said something. He didn't question it. But again, so this is just another indication, again, of the anhoge of great Gedolei Yisrael. Before we go further, let me just mention a little bit where we're up to here in the Nefesh HaChaim. We are trying to conclude, which is Perik Tezvov. It's Daf Nun Beis. We're going to be starting in the editions that most of the people have over here, where it begins on the bottom of Daf Nun Beis, the Hi Hanoisenis, if you find. But before we go there, let's just recap a little bit. V'chaim Loshen basically told us that there are three souls that every man has, three levels. What we have is Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Nefesh is the lowest level, Ruach is the next level, and then comes Neshama, which is the highest level. Reb Chaim also pointed out that in the various mannerisms that people are able to act, whether these are Maise, Dibur, and Machshove, which are three levels, action comes from the Koich of the Nefesh. Nefesh is the base level, which is the lowest level, which even animals, which gives them the life force, which animals need, they have also what's called Nefesh. And Nefesh resides in the blood, ki hadam hu hanefesh. And that is which basically gives the life force and the blood circulates and so on and so forth. That is the lowest level, which is called the animalistic level, which even the animals have that level, creatures and so on and so forth, which gives them the life. That is Nefesh. And all movement that a person does, physical movement, comes from the power of the nefesh. Animals also move, have movement. Of course. Where does their life force come from? It comes from the lowest level of the three neshamas, so to speak, which is the nefesh, the lowest level. Then comes ruach. Ruach is spirit, which is a higher level. Ruach is which gives man the power of speech, which is dibur. Ruach gives dibur, as we find the lashon of the Targum. It says, "Vayhi ha'adam lanefesh chayo," man turned into a living being at the time of creation. Targum says, "Leruach memalalo," a person who has the ability to speak. Ruach memalalo. And Rav Chaim pointed out that in fact, when we speak, there's air coming out of the mouth, right? Coming out of the mouth from the inside, coming outside, which again is just another indication that speech comes from ruach. Animals don't have the power of speech. They don't have what's called ruach. Ruach is something already more sublime. It's a higher level. And finally, then there is what's called neshama, which is the highest level, the most sublime. That's where neshama comes from. Machshava comes from. Machshava comes from the koyach of the neshama. However, Reb Chaim pointed out, which is something fascinating, which comes to us as a surprise, because Reb Chaim says, what is the root of the word neshama? The root of the word neshama is from neshima, breathing. Now, breathing certainly is something which is very physical. It comes from inside, coming out through the mouth. It comes from lower to higher, right? From inside, from the lungs, from the heart area, coming out through the mouth. It's coming from lower to higher, which means it's trying to reach higher. So breathing is from a lower level. And neshama certainly comes from high down, from up down. How is neshama related to breathing? Reb Chaim says, not to the breathing of man, to the breathing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama actually is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath connected to man. That's what it means, neshama from Lashon Neshima. Neshama from Lashon Neshima is not the breathing of man. That's physical. When we say neshama is the highest level of all three, nefesh, ruach, neshama. Neshama means neshima, breathing. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, as it were, coming out of his mouth, is connected to man. But Reb Chaim says, when Adam Rishon, prior to his sin, the neshama was contained within his body, because the guf of Adam Rishon also was kulay kedusha tahara, was pure. It was able to contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, as it were, within his physical body, because his physical body also was spiritually charged. But after the chet of Adam Rishon, now that the bodies have lowered, right, have become spiritually low, very low, so now we don't have neshamas. But rather, neshama, says Reb Chaim, hover over us, and we enjoy the sparks of the neshama. We become attached to the sparks, to the nitzutzes, to the sparks of the neshama. What degree? He says, according to our actions, which means the more that we live a life of Torah mitzvahs, the holier our life's behavior, so the more sparks we are able to enjoy and to become more connected to the neshama, which is the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, according to the lesser of our behavior, accordingly, measure for measure, we will have less connection to the sparks of what we call neshama. Chaim pointed out that the only one after the chet of Adam Rishon who actually had the neshama within himself, which is the highest level, was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was considered to be as pure as possible, even after the chet of Adam Rishon. No one can really match Moshe Rabbeinu, says Reb Chaim. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was called Ish Elokim. What do you mean he's a godly man? Godly man means he contained the breath of Hashem within him. We, as a result, the world at large, we contain the lower two levels, Nefesh and Ruach. Neshama is hovering over us, and we only enjoy the sparks of Neshama. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, his body itself was spiritual. His body was also ruchnius. As a result, his body actually contained the neshama within his guf. That was the koyach. He said, Zulosoi, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, said Reb Chaim before, he said, no one else really had it. So just to understand a little bit, to get a little bit of idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. So before we go further, let's take a look a little bit at the sheet a little bit. Let's take a look here at number one. And we take a look a little bit, something that the Chidush HaRan, one of the great Rishonim, of course, tell us. We'll take the first item that we have here on the sheet. V'hinei Madrega Zu, we are now referring. We're referring to this Madrega Shemosh Rabbeinu Zocho, Shenichnas Atzmus Nishmosa B'toich Gufoi. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had this distinct privilege that the etzem of his neshama went into his guf, in contrast to anybody else, as we just mentioned, we do not have the schus of having our neshamas within our bodies. Neshama is the breath of Hashem. our bodies are not spiritually high enough to be able to contain our neshamas. But Moshe Rabbeinu did. You're talking Shaloi Hisik Mikoyach Masov. It's very possible even that Moshe Rabbeinu, he reached that madrege not solely through his actions. Why? Because the truth is, after the chet of Adam Rishon, he efshel shum Adam liskos lekach, k'mashkos of Rabbeinu. Nobody else can ever reach that madrege after the chet of Adam to be able to reach a madrege to be worthy of containing a neshama. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed a Moshe Rabbeinu. Guess what? As we'll soon see, a quote from the Ram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, created someone called Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an unbelievable thing. We know, generally speaking, every person reaches the madrega that he has through his own actions, through his bechira. We all have a choice. I mean, that is the whole purpose of man. The exercise is choice. You have free will. You can choose right, you can choose left. But of course, there's going to be din b'cheshbon. For a person to reach the highest level, humanely possible, you would assume that this is through his actions. And that is the general rule. Moshe Rabbeinu reached such a high level that happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him as such. And we'll soon see the reason for that. Let's take a look where we find this. We find Shekos of Haran B'drashoysov. This is what the Ram tells us. The Ram writes this in his drushes, Drush Hei, Vizela Shoinen. Let's remember, Rabbi Yisai, the Ram lives in the 14th century, lives in the 1300s. All right? Ram lived in Barcelona, Spain. And the Ram writes as follows, Vizela Shoinen. You see the words of the Ram. The whole inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu was not a natural phenomenon. Moshe Rabbeinu was a malam in ateva. It's impossible. Look what the Ram says. This is the Ram talking here. It is impossible. It is impossible for a human being to reach that lofty madrege that Moshe Rabbeinu reached through natural ways and means. It's impossible. It's impossible. To Omroi, for example, the Torah tells us, the Torah tells us the fact that there never will be a Novi, a prophet like Moshe. Let me ask a question. If Moshe Rabbeinu reaches that high level of prophecy through his own actions, so everybody has a Bechirat, who's to say that there's not going to be a second Moshe Rabbeinu? Who's going to stop it? If Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a Moshe Rabbeinu through his own actions, by choice, well, then anybody has the ability to have the same choice. Everybody has the same choices. And who knows? Maybe down the road there'll be somebody else like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet the Torah says, Loikom Novi. You know why? Become a Moshe Rabbeinu not through your own actions. That level. That is an extra special platform. The Ram points out, Hoidionu, the Pasuk tells us thereby, by telling us there will not be another Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is telling us, Ki nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is lemalo min ha-teva. It was above nature. Ve'hishlimoy Hashem Yisbarach be'inyan nisi. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him completeness, perfection, through the medium of nes, miracle. Einenu efshari she'yasigenu ha'odom kifi minig ha-tivi. The Ran says it is impossible for a person to reach the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu this way, in a natural way. She'im ha'yokein, because if it would be possible to become a Moshe Rabbeinu through your own actions, Eich Omar, how can the Torah state, Le'kom lo v'yoyed b'sol k'moshe? V'ashem yizborach la'yim le'toyim le'bolav, because Baruch is not going to block it. If it goes by Bechira, then any person can have that choice. You think if Kodesh Baruch is going to block someone who has the ability to rise higher? Say, no, I'm not going to let you go higher. That wouldn't make any sense, he says. If a person by human nature is able, through his own actions, to reach a madrega like Moshe, how would the Torah say there's not going to be another Moshe? Would a Kodesh Baruch Hu stop it? Kodesh Baruch Hu block that? Impossible. So the inyan of the Pasuk, the intent of the Pasuk by telling us that there will not be another Moshe Rabbeinu lo hoidia, to inform us, ki inyan Moshe olav ha-sholem ho-yimekoich ha-nisim ha-niflois, the Yotzah Migeder or in Yonim, he says Hativim. This is the words of the Ram. Amazing, amazing words. And by the way, we can see it. Skip this paragraph and go further to Venera. Go down to the next paragraph. This is from a sefer called Bachato Bachayim, it's a Hemshech. And he says that Bemis, you can see, if you are Medaik, if you look very clearly in the words how the Rambam describes Moshe Rabbeinu, you can actually find the same idea of the Ran and the Rambam as well. Let's take a look how the Rambam describes Moshe Rabbeinu. The nearest Zehu Gam Kavonas a Rambam Perek Aleph David Zora Halacha Beis. Because the Rambam writes as follows: Vezelo Shoyne. This is the Loshon of the Rambam. Umahavas Hashem Oisonu. The Rambam tells us, this is what Rambam says: Moshe Rabbeinu was a gift. Moshe Rabbeinu was a gift. Why were we given that gift? Out of love, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael. Therefore, he gave us as a gift someone so great and so highly above this world. Someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. Loshon Rambam. Umahavas Hashem Oisonu. Umishamrois Ashvura and keeping the oath that Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu. We needed to have a leader that guides Klal Yisrael. Also Moshe Rabbeinu. What does also mean? He made, did Loshon Rambam, also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu that he is the teacher of all of the prophets, the Shulch and Sentin. Kim Shizdabe Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu prophesy, Ubocha Hashem Yisrael Anachlo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael that they should be his inheritance. He says, HaKetir Yechtiron, therefore he crowned them with all the mitzvahs, etc., etc. What do you see from the Rambam? He says, also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukvar Heiru Mahu. Mefarshim already asked the question, what does it mean? Mashe Kosav, also Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mashar B'Zalosh Nasirin, he made Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. He became Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu made? The Lahanal, based upon what we learned above, is that Meduik Noid, it's very, very exact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, also Ibo'oifen Zeh, Kedei V'Shalcho L'Bnei Yisroel. The whole Matthias of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Briah Shel Nes, was a special creation. Moshe Rabbeinu was an individual special creation. He should be the loyal giver of the Torah. So here again we see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Reb Chaim tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, was the one who had the schus, that his body became so lofty, so elevated in Ruchnias, that he had the privilege of having his neshama contained within his body, as we see from the Ram, that this was a gift that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Kodesh Baruch Hu created such a being as Moshe Rabbeinu to this high madrega. But we, with our own kliches, after the chet of Adam Rishon, would not be able to reach that. Lekom lo v'yoyd k'moshe, a special bria miyuchedes, a special bria. Kodesh Baruch Hu went ahead and created, different than all human beings. Moshe Rabbeinu was a special, special bria, because only a person like Moshe Rabbeinu can be the one who can be trusted for all time to give the Torah from Har Sinai to Klal Yisrael and to be the loyal teacher and to be the one who is the greatest authority from whom we learn and from whom we receive the Torah. The interesting thing, when you see what the Ram says, I just want to show you, many times we try to show this, a similar idea. This is Rav Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chochma, we have this number two, in Parsha Shemois. Again, we have just a few lines. The Meshech Chochma is much longer, but we took out just a few lines of the Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha. And Meir Simcha says in Parsha Shemois, look what he says. Nevuas Moshe. He says, Ulamalo min nevuas kol hanavim. Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is above and beyond the prophecy of any Nevi'im. First of all, Shenevuas kulam hu al pi oisu moifis. How does a Navi, how does any prophet become established as a prophet? You know why? A prophet basically links his prophecy to some sort of a wonder, some sort of a miracle that's going to happen, he predicts. And we see that it's coming true. That's you know, how do you know someone's the prophet? Anybody can get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm a prophet. But if he's going to show you something which is supernatural and links it to his message, and we see that in fact that what he's saying comes true, something which is unbelievable, it normally cannot happen. And yet he predicted this is going to happen exactly when, the way he said it, and it happened. So that shows us that this person, there's some substance to what he's saying. But that's stam a prophet. That's a regular prophet. However, lo yikein Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to prove through any moistin, through any wonders or signs. Moshe Rabbeinu kol Yisrael shomu shakadosh baruch hu medaber l'moshe ponim al ponim. We witnessed how Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to him face to face. V'kulam higiyu, and so on. V'imkein, so now the question is, here's the question. Eich tziva Hashem sheyaminu lo'olam b'moshe. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that the gam b'cho yaminu l'yoylam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, commanded, we always must believe in Moshe. Wait a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. A human being, till the moment that he dies, there's no guarantee. You can fall 5 minutes before you die. You can be a tzaddik your whole life. The last moment, Yetzer Hara doesn't stop. What does the Gemara say? Yoichan and Kohen Gadol. Shemayim Shana, 80 years, was a Kohen Gadol. Besayt Nasa Tzedoki. He became a Tzedoki. There's no guarantees in this world. So how does the Torah say the Gambachoy Aminu Loilam? Chaz Bisholim to say this. What happens if Moshe Ben Chazom turns and becomes an Apikoyus? What happens? Maybe. How does the Torah say the Gambachoy? How can the Torah put a stamp on Moshe Rabbeinu? Man, Simchas. The Gambachoy Aminu Loilam. Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being like anybody else. He has a choice. Today is a tzaddik. Tomorrow may not be a tzaddik. How do you know? How can the Torah tell us that we have to believe in Moshe till the end? That's the question we're made of Simcha. You know, everything comes from Hashem except fear from Hashem. Fear from Hashem is up to you. You have to acquire it. You have to work at it. This doesn't come. And therefore, being that it's up to you, well, you know what? One day I might be successful. I have Yerushalayim. The next day I may lose my Yerushalayim. Happens all the time. Believers become non-believers. Non-believers become believers. And sometimes you go up and down, year after year, backwards and forwards. More believers, less believers, stronger, less. So how, Moshe Rabbeinu? How does Moshe Rabbeinu get this guarantee? He tzivu on us. The Gambachoy Aminu Loilam. The Shema Yivcha Moshe Achazeh Cholil Olahitza B'data. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu may decide to add new things to the Torah that was never told to him. Moshe Rabbeinu may have some ideas. He may have certain philosophies. You know what? Let me throw in a few more of my own, you know? Who's to stop it? And you're going to think this is all coming from Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how do we trust Moshe Rabbeinu that whatever he says is really everything in Shemayim? How do you know what Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu is at any given time or point? Look what Meir Simcha says. This is, again, these are incredible words. Incredible words, authoritative words, what the Meshech Chochmah says. Val Korchem, therefore we are forced to say, being that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the lifetime guarantee that we must believe in him, Shashem Yizborach, Sholal Mimenu HaBechir Lagamra, Moshe Rabbeinu has a Bechir. Every human being has free will, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed Bechirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the Koyach HaBechir from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hard to say, but for lack of a better marshal, Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, was like a mechanical robot, again, Chas V'Shalom, just lack of a better word, can only do the way it's supposed to be programmed. Moshe Rabbeinu can't flip. You know, ask me, may Mariba, all the other things, leave that aside now. It's also part of the plan that had to be. Because Moshe had his plan. In other words, you put him into a machine, you put in, you know, whatever kind of chip you want, but that's the way it's going to go. Certain things have to happen. So he says, Hashem Yisborach, Sholal Mimenu HaBechira Legamre, V'nisha Mukhra Kamalochim. So like a Malach has no Bechira. A Malach has no Yetzer Hara. A Malach is created, and the way he's created, that's the way that he exists. He cannot go up, he cannot go down. He's an Oymed, he stands on the same Adrega. Cannot go higher, cannot go lower. He has a shlichus to do. He cannot deviate from a shlichus. That's what a malach is. He's mukhrach. It has to be. It's a hechler. It's a must. Moshe Rabbeinu is the same way. In that sense, Moshe Rabbeinu was like a malach, that it's mukhrach. He had to do what was right. Hatam, he says, shatachlis hi abchiris. He says, the point is, of course, bechira is the tachlis. Free choice is the tachlis. Because Shabaloi Bechira ain't mala al ha'odam yoysa mikalanim tzoy. Man has to have Bechira because without choice, then what is man more than an animal or anything else? As a matter of fact, listen to this medrash, it says. K'mo she'omro, we find Tzfardei al David. There was a dialogue between the Tzfardim, between the frauds. The David HaMelech. Listen to this, it's an amazing thing. We didn't bring down this whole thing because it's not mamish. One, get out of hand here. But David HaMelech, after he wrote the Sefer Tehillim, the Sefer Tehillim is the bestseller of all time. Of all the Svarim that anybody wrote, all the Svarim wrote, Sefer Tehillim. A Yid opens up a Sefer Tehillim from the beginning of time till the end of time. In good times, they say Tehillim. Cholilim, bad times, they say Tehillim. You always say Tehillim. There's never a wrong time or the right time to say Tehillim. You always say Tehillim. For good, for bad, always. Tehillim, everything. Tehillim satisfies everything. So Ramelech was so proud of himself that he composed, that he was Mechaber the Sefer Tehillim. They had a little bit of, let's call it Stolzkeit, a little bit, a little bit, let's call it swell-headed a little bit. Sfardeya, the frog, says to him, "What do you think you are?" he says. "That you wrote Tehillim," he says. Sfardeya says, "You know, your frog's croaking all the time?" The frog says, "I croak Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24 hours a day. You don't do it 24 hours a day." The frog out-debated David HaMelech. Take a look here. It says, "Sha'amr Tzfardeya L'David," this is a medrash. The Tzadeh said to David, Al tezuach datcho. Don't be a balgaiver. Al tezuach datcho. He said, don't have any, he says, even a slight arrogance within you. Why? Shehi, the frog, oimeres kol hayoyim shire. I, the frog, say shire, I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. Hainu, meaning, shemekayemes tomit pu'ulat yoyksra b'li hefzik. Human beings are not capable of that. I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says, more than you. In my capacity, I serve Hashem more than you do. Not as a bechira, otherwise, he wouldn't be above. Oh, so what makes him above? So what makes him above the creatures? Because he has a choice, animals don't. The tzvar day, I may be taken. 24 hours a day, she can croak and say, Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She has no bechira. This is part of her nature. This is what she's supposed to be doing. All the animals say shira. The whole Perek shira, the price of Perek shira, the horses say this kind of a shira, the frog say this, the lion say this, the tiger say this, the elephant say this, the giraffe say that. All animals, all birds, different species have different shiras. See in Perek shira. So why is man above? Man is above because man is a choice. Man has temptation. And if man is able to overcome his temptations and utilize his intellect, do what's right, not for his emotions, not what his desires tell him to do, that makes him above. But that's general man. Moshe Rabbeinu, being that he had to be the all teacher of all time, the transmitter of Torah, and had to be trusted fully, completely. The connection, he had to be created in a special way, different than everybody else. That's what Rabbeinu Simcha says, Sholal Nemenu HaBechira, because he broke it to Kuwait, the Bechira from Moshe Rabbeinu. He cannot slip. Moshe Rabbeinu will not slip, he cannot slip. That's Mamash like the Ram told us also. The Ram said, why? Because Moshe's Madrega was a Malam and Ateva. It's not through the natural means of Bechira and through your own actions. A special Briya Miyuchedes, which Bokhe created Moshe Rabbeinu. That kind of a being called Moshe Rabbeinu, going back to B'chaim Veloshim, he was the one that was able to have the Neshama within his body. Mamish, to contain Neshama, Neshima. Because Bokhe's breath was in his body. Because his body is so highly spiritually charged. But generally speaking, people, since after the Chet of the Marishim, the Neshama, which is the highest level of the three, only hovers over above, and we enjoy the sparks. So now we go further now into the Chaim with the Kluk Nefesh HaChaim. Let's take a look further. The Kluk Nefesh HaChaim, and we see here, Vihi HaNoisenes. Vihi HaNoisenes. The Chaim is telling us now, What contribution do the sparks of the neshama give to a person? Because again, it's pointed out, nefesh, again, is the basic life force. That's movement. That's connected meister. Ruach, that parallels, right? That matches, ruach matches dibur. Neshama, we said, matches machshava. But what area of machshava specifically? It encompasses all areas. But which specifically? Which specific area in mind thought? In intellect, do we enjoy from the sparks of Neshama? Says Reb Chaim as follows. It is these sparks, the Neshama sparks. It is these sparks that give man the extraordinary perception, Bina Yisera, extraordinary perception, Lahaskila Sichlioys Hapnimim Hagnuzim Metarisenu Hagdoshim. In other words, which gives man the perception to understand the mystical concepts that are stored in the Torah. There are mystical concepts. There are secrets. These are codes hidden into the Torah. How and where do we get the ability to be able to delve into the depth, into the pnimius? What's concealed, the chelek haTorah that's concealed. The mystical portion of Torah, how are we able to perceive it? It's through the sparks of Kedusha from our neshama. It is the spark, because again, the sparks of the neshama is connected to our moyach, it's connected to the brain, it's connected to machshava. And if you want to be zeiche, the person wants to have the schus, to be able to have some perception in the mystical portions of Torah, you need the siyata d'shemaya from above. And that is from the koyach of the sparks of the neshama. So the more sparks that we are able to enjoy, we can generate how much sparks we receive. It's up to us, based upon our behavior. If we, through our behavior, enjoy more sparks, the more sparks means we will have more understanding. There's no end into the Seidus HaTorah. There's no end into the understanding how deep we can go into the mystical portions of Torah, into the depths of Torah. So any understanding on any level is from the sparks of the Neshama. The sparks of the Neshama gives us the ability to be able to perceive, says Reb Chaim, to be able to have skill, to be able to understand, he says, the Pnimi and Hagnuzim, the hidden portions of the mystical portions of Torah. So of course it's up to us to be able to generate the more sparks, the better. And that is through our Hanhogim Kedusha. The more our Hanhogim behavior in Kedusha, we generate more sparks, we are able to connect with more sparks of our Neshama, and the more sparks that we have, our mind will be more stimulated and be able to appreciate and have all of this knowledge piped into our mind. All of the understanding and all of the perception of the hidden portions of Torah. So it's the Neshama that gives us the understanding in Torah. Not the Nefesh. Nefesh allows us to move our limbs. Ruach allows us to talk. Any kind of talk. But like we can move our hands for any reason. No control. You have a Bechir. Neshama, though, is particularly which is needed in order our minds will be able to perceive the mystical portions of Torah. Which that, for that you need Kedusha. And being that for that you really need Kedusha, you need the Neshama, which is the most sublime, which is the highest level. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, the highest. You need those sparks. So the Chelik of Havona in Torah comes from the Neshama. Not Nefesh, it's not Ruach. It's from the Neshama. And he substantiates that. He says, Ukumar Chikosav, he says, we find B'Sefer Tikkunim. We sign B'Sefer Tikkunim, Melech Lecho, Tafa in Tesom and Beis. And he brings down four words. What does it say? Neshama, it is the Chelik Neshama, is Aris, which is Me'oira Le'inish, to Mersim, Bebino. So the Zohar Kodesh clearly tells us, the Zohar tells us that is the Chelik of the Neshama. It's the Chelik of the Neshama that is Me'oira, which is Me'oira that arouses the Bino, the understanding, the Havona, in the mind of a person. And then he brings also Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh also says in Rus, the Isayar Day, and this awakens within him, it goes on the Neshama, V'chochma Sehiloa. To be able to tap into the higher chokhmah, higher wisdom, which means wisdom of depth, high, lofty wisdom. That comes through how much connection you have to the sparks of your neshama. That is where it comes from. So it's the neshama that we need to attach ourselves to the sparks of the neshama, to be able to have understanding, to have the ability to be able to fathom Chochmas Hashem, that's what Torah is. Torah is the wisdom of Hashem. For that, you need purity. Not like using general intellect will not get you there. The general thing, you can have an IQ on the highest level, and you will not have the ability to understand the profundity of Chochmas Hashem. Because to understand the word of Hashem, you have to be connected to Hashem. And that is through your neshama, which is the loftiest, which is the most sublime. And so the koyach of the neshama, so the sparks of the neshama that glow upon you, brings you that ability to perceive Chochmas Hashem. And he goes down, he says, further he says, V'ayin de'etz chayim, etz chayim is the sharmuchim, the katnes, peragim al zelu shoyne. Omnom, he says, loy kol odem zoychol ozeh. Etz chayim said, not every person has the schus of understanding the mystical portions of Torah. Not everybody has the schus. You can study and study and study, and still you won't get too far. V'da, but no, be aware. Ki mi she'esh b'yodoy koyach b'masof. It's your behavior. In other words, your behavior influences your intellect in these areas. In the learning of Torah, it's not the greatness of your IQ. The yonim of Torah, the area of Torah, what determines how much you're going, how far you're going to get? Your behavior of Kedusha and purity. It goes hand in hand. So it's your actions that influence your intellect when it comes to Torah. That's the difference. That would separate the wisdom of Torah from any other disciplines. Any other disciplines, bigger minds perceive more. Weaker minds perceive less, not by Torah. Many of the greatest Gedolei Yisrael were not necessarily the greatest, Bali Kishon, not necessarily that the greatest, as you call it. No. You find in yeshivas, you find all types of people. But due to their profound behavior, through their Avodat Hashem, and of course, their diligence, you have to sit and learn. Without learning, it doesn't fly into your head. So the combination of the behavior and the diligence, the Hasamoda, and the tefillin b'kodesh the Kodesh Baruch Hu at the choinin lo don das. We have mispalt the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Give me the das. You know, by the p'tir of the chazinish. Again, the god lahador. Remeir Karel is the brother of the chazinish, who is master his brother. He lived, he outlived his brother. And by the way, his yeshiva in Bnei Brak is known as called Beis Meir. Yeshiva's Beis Meir is named on Remeir Karel after he passed away. Yeshiva is named after him. And he was the brother of the Chazinish. And his son-in-law who ran it is also one of the great Rosh Hashiva Narabim was Reb Zalman Rapter, who was the son-in-law of the Meir Karelitz, which made him a nephew of the Chazon Ish as well. He was here many, many years ago in the old Beis Medrash, and that was during the time when Moshe Feinstein, the Tzar, was Nifter. And then we arranged a hesped in the old shul, and I had him say a hesped then on Rav Moshe, and he did. He said a hesped in the old shul of Zalman Rutberg, who is the son-in-law of Rav Meir Karelitz. Rav Meir was the brother of the Chazon Ish. Anyway, the mayor said, he says, everybody knows the gadlus, he says, of my brother, the Chazon Ish, that he had the schus to become the Poisek Gadol. And his word was the law. I mean, that's what it is. Chazon Ish. Who dared to argue with the Chazon Ish? Very few. Chazon Ish. And he says, we know the Hasmoda, we know the Chazon Ish would not be Mevatel, Erega. I mean, any opportunity to learn. He had tremendous headaches and weakness, and he would sit and lie in his bed. Literally, he would lie in bed because he couldn't sit on a chair. He was too weak. And lying in bed, his head on a pillow, that's how he would do his learning. Lying in bed. He had no koich to sit, but lying in bed. And while he was lying in bed, he would use all of his koich, all of his talents. As a matter of fact, they say in the earlier years, when he was, quote, a little bit stronger, so you'd find that somebody once heard from the other room, somebody was in a different room, the Chazon Ish was walking, and they heard a thump. It was late at night. They heard a thump. Obviously, he fell. He came and they saw him on the floor. They came to ask him, said, Rebbe, what happened? You slipped? He says, no, I didn't slip. He says, what happened? Why'd you fall? And then he said like this, my chair is over here where I sit. My bed is over there. I don't go to sleep, he says, until I've exhausted, he says, all my koyaches and learning. When I feel I have no more koyach, then I go to sleep. However, I use all my koyaches for learning. I only leave over just enough koyach to go from the chair to the bed. I miscalculated. Didn't leave over enough koyach, and I fell. So that is, I miscalculated. I left too little koyach. Used it all up. It's a Chazon Ish. But Rav Meir Karelitz says, so with all of that, the tremendous hasmod of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish had a mind. There was an ilui and everything else, but what you don't know, that atachoyne lodam das, when he dam the shmanesh, rabbayin shalom, grant me das, grant me knowledge, that he was shoyver the mois. How he used to cry and shed tears by the tefillah of Atachoyne. There's a person who understands that his chokhmah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, together with talent, together with Asamode, Yizoyche, to the tremendous Seyat HaDishmaya. This is connected with Kedushin Tahara. Atachoyne Odom Das. That's what the B'chaim is telling us over here. He quotes the Zohar Kodesh, he quotes the Eitz Chaim. It's the ma'isim of the person, how a person behaves. Because you need the sparks of your neshama to be able to grant you that. And you're only going to have, receive sparks of your neshama if your body is a vehicle, a kli, to be able to receive that. So one has to make his body worthy and to become a worthy, an appropriate receptacle, to be able to receive all those sparks of kedusha. So it continues on. The boy says, fascinating words here. His Omnami says, Loi kolodam zoichel vedaki mishesh biyode koyach b'masov, a person who has koyach b'masov, Ozieloi Zechira Nifloi Betoyre. See what he says over here? Anybody around here, you ask someone, who is apt to remember something longer? Anything in Torah. Who is apt, who is the one who is most likely to remember Torah more than somebody else? You're going to say, the one who has the best memory. Chaim says, not true. Zechira Betoyre, remembering Torah, is not dependent on who has the better memory. To remember phone numbers, yes. To remember calendar dates, yes. To remember social events, to remember business appointments. Better memory, probably going to remember better. Remembering Torah, no. Torah is spiritual. Your mind is physical. These two things don't really go together. If a person's body becomes spiritual through his behavior, you're going to remember Torah because Torah wants to reside there. It's an interesting phenomenon. Tremendous phenomenon. Look what he says again. Repeat the words again. Veda. Kimishesh biyodoi koyach b'masov, depending on one's actions, or zieloi zechira nifloi v'toyre. Not stam. Zechira nifloi. A meiridig zechira. A tremendous power of memory. Why? Because you have a good memory? No. Koyach b'masov. It's because of your meisim. Not only that, it doesn't stop there. According to your meisim, the Yavin called Rosei HaTorah. He will understand all the secrets of Torah. All the secrets of Torah will become revealed to him. When Hashemayim will be zoche to the revelations of Torah. V'yiz galuloi Rosei HaTorah kitikunon. Appropriately, the secrets and the mystical portions of Torah will be revealed to him. Adkan and so on. Zeh Shomer HaKosis. So Reb Chaim, so this in fact is expressed by Eiv. Eiv says the following words, which I'm trying to show again. Nefesh and Ruach is something that we all contain. However, the Chelik of Neshama, Neshama, since after the Chet of the Marishan, we don't actually have the Neshama within ourselves. We don't have the Neshama within ourselves. What we only have and we enjoy is the sparks of the Neshama. And that's what he goes on to show again. In Eiv, there's a Posik. In Eiv, it says, Eiv expresses this idea by saying, Ochein Ruach hi be'enosh. He says, Ochein means it's true. It's true that there is a spirit in man, the Nishmat Shakai Tevinim. And it is the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives them understanding. So what do you see from here? That man contains Ruach. Ruach, it says, is Be'enosh. And it's the Nisham of Hashem that gives the person understanding. But what does the person himself contain? It says Ruach. It says Ruach hi Be'enosh. Which means to say, Rotzoloimer, Shebechinetz HaRuach. It is only the Ruach level, the Ruach element of the soul, that level, Mishtalshel Umushpa Venichnas B'toychodon. It is the Ruach element of the soul that is lowered into man. But not the essence of the Neshama. Not the essence of the Neshama. Avon HaNeshama Shehi Nishmas Shakai. But the Neshama, which is the breath of Hashem. The breath of Hashem, our bodies, unfortunately, are not worthy to contain the actual breath of Hashem. Rotzoloimer, meaning, what does Nishma Shaka mean? Rotzoloimer, what it means is, Nishimas Piv Yizborach, which means, actually, the breath of Hashem's mouth, Einat Musa Mushpav Umizgale B'toychodom. He says, the essence of breath does not dwell, he says, does not dwell there. Why? Ki hi meroimim tishkoim. Because the breath of Hashem dwells in the exalted heights, he says, B'toych Piv Yizborach Kibiyokom, the mouth of Hashem. However, we are able to connect with it only, not to contain it. He says, Rakshihi HaNishenislov. But it is the Neshama that, in fact, will impart Bino, which, again, will give a person the understanding, as we said, in the hidden portions of Torah, the Nitzutei Yoyro. It is through the sparks of the Neshama that will impart to man the insight that is needed. Right? Lahatskiloi, the Imke, Mitzvayne, HaTorah Gdoshah. To grasp the profound mystery of the Holy Torah. But that's clearly what, again, that Reb Chaim is reiterating. And finally, Reb Chaim is saying, so what about the fact that we find the Zohar HaKodesh says, and what about the fact that the Kabbalists say, they always speak in terms of the Neshama. They always speak in terms of the Neshama. They speak about HaNeshama Mishkona B'moyer Chodom. They always speak about the Neshama residing in man's brain. The way we're saying now, the Neshama is not really entering. The essence of the Neshama, we just finished saying, does not enter the essence of man. So what does the Mikubolim only talk about the Neshama that resides in the Moyach? How does the Neshama reside in the Moyach? It does not. So he says, Rosh Shalom, he says what it means, Hika Kavanos, so he says, Kavanosam Zal, their Kavon is Al Hanetzutzei Zivoyro, not the actual Neshama. Chaim repeats it again. When the Zohar, even the Zohar, and all the Mikubolim, when you talk about the Neshama resting in the Moyach, it's the sparks of Neshama. It talks about the sparks of Neshama, the radiant sparks of Neshama, which transmit wisdom and understanding. Right? Hamesakeles, Moichoi, Vesichloi, which transmits, as we say, wisdom and understanding to a person's brain. Loyat Musa Mamish. Not for one moment is it the actual Neshama itself. It does not mean the Neshama itself, because again, because since all the Marishans hate, this is not Shaykh. The Iker Kavanosam Zal, and he says the main Kavanah is, Al Bechinas, he says, Gimel Reishin Shel Haruach Soid Hamoichin. What is he talking about? Because there is a concept of Eser Spheres. The Eser Spheres has a crown of three. It starts out with Chochmah Bin Adas, that's three. Then we have the Zayin Midas, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, Malchus. So what's the crown? The crown is, as we said, Chochmah Bin Adas, or Kesed Chochmah Bin Adas. Chabad uses the top three as Chochmah Bin Adas, that's Chabad. Chabad, that's Chochmah bin Adas, then comes the Zayin Midas. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyt. Together is ten. The Chesed is ten. Question is whether the first three is Chochmah bin Adas or it's Keser Chochmah bino. That's the question. But these three things are called the Gimel Reishin, the Moichin. The Keser Chochmah bino or Chochmah bin Adas, these things are related to the mind. The sparks of the Neshama, basically what they do is they stimulate the mind, bringing in the mysteries of Torah into the mind. But the essence of the Neshama does not reside in the body of our bodies since the Chet of Adam Rishon. But what we gain from the sparks of Anishoma, the sparks of Anishoma is what gives us the profound wisdom. It gives the ability to grasp the mysteries of Torah. So we conclude, Rabbi Isai, with an item here on the sheet I want to show you over here, if we take it again. And we go over here to maybe... Well, here, first of all, I see the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. Let's take a look very quickly. This is the Or HaChaim HaKodesh in Parshas Re'eh. Number 4. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh in Parshas Re'eh, he wants to explain the Pasuk, Shemoyer V'Shomato. Shemoyer V'Shomato. It's called Advorim Ho'ela. So Or HaChaim HaKodesh as follows. Number 4 on the side of the sheet. Oid Yisboer Al Derech Oimrim Zal. Another explanation to the Pasuk, Shemoyer V'Shomato. Ki Mishehu Bala Beirais. Shari das ha-Torah ninolim b'fonos. What's the Rechaim saying? Someone's a balavera, the gates of Torah is closed. You can be, he says, you can be the greatest mind in the world. You can be the greatest intellectual in the world. If you're a balavera, he says, the gates of Torah are closed. The Timtza, you will find, ki shari pischa ha-havona b'divre Torah. He says, the gates of understanding Torah, he says, we find, you have all these questions, you have these kashas that block us from understanding. Why do we have so many kashas? Why are there so many areas that we don't understand in Torah? He says, these are the averis. He says, the truth is, the more averis you have, he says, these are the klipois, these are the forces, the evil forces. So the Pasuk is ever telling us, if you keep the Torah, you will understand the Torah. Keep the Torah. It goes hand in hand. If you really want to understand the truth of Torah, then you will be zoichet to the great understanding of Torah. I just want to tell you, Rabbi Isai, that when Reb Chaim pointed out, it says here, he brought down from the Eitz Chaim that through the sparks of the Nishomo, or when a person has koyach b'masof through the actions of man, when a man behaves spiritually, he behaves, b'kedusha v'tahara, the b'chaim had the lotion, he will have a zechira nifloya b'toyra, he will have a moiradiga, he will have an incredible memory in Torah. So there's a sefer called Toldos Odom, we have it on the left side, number 5 here, we have here, which talks about the tremendous memory of Reb Zalman Levoloshina. Reb Zalman Levoloshina was the brother of Reb Chaim, tremendous goy. Tremendous going. Atkidei kach, that a riddle used to be posed, how can one differentiate between him and the Vilna Goyim? The Vilna Goyim was considered to be greater, was greater, but we would be hard-pressed to try to find out exactly where. Because anything in knowledge and everything, Rav Zalman would know it all anyway. And if you try to put your finger on what the difference is between Rav Zalman and the Goyim, you'd be hard-pressed. And yet there were differences, which is not the time now to go into it. But let's take a look here, number 5. Cause of the Sefer Toldos Odom. There's a few lines. It's written at Sefer regarding the power of memory of Reb Zalman. It was not a human nature of memory. It was not a natural thing. It is an amazing thing. It is an incredible thing. His mind was like a computer that contained Svarim Rabim Lemeir Tolotim. You by heart. Hundreds and thousands of books of Sfarim. Ashenichlu b'soicham, and in those Sfarim was included Riboy Revolves Dinim Halochet. Tens and tens of thousands of different halochet, and he remembered it all by heart. It's not humanly possible to remember all that. Mind is not a machine. He remembered it. And he goes on to point out, go a little further. Ubli Sofik, skip a few words here. Ubli Sofik, he says, Ein b'koyach zichron ben odom. He says, it is impossible for memory to be naturally so powerful. It's only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is helping him. And the truth is evident. The Kodesh Baruch Hu sees the purity of your heart. The Kodesh Baruch Hu checks your heart first. Puts a stethoscope to check your spiritual heart. Hashem is able to, right, to discern. He says, well, checks out your innards. Who maybe understands Mosai Oto Adam Eshaloi? In other words, first you have to apply all within your human power. When your human power ends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now gives you above human power. But first you have to do your chelik. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to measure. Did you give it your all? Once you gave it your all, now Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're worthy, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm going to give you extra, beyond your koiches, he says. Ukishirah. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw. Shatzadik Reb Zalman, Kol Asher Hoysa Le'el Yodoy Lassos. Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw, whatever is humanly possible, Reb Zalman did. He studied to the extent of his ability. Le'hoye B'koich HaYoyser, it was not humanly possible to do more. Sholach Eila Eilov HaEzer HaLekai Mim Reimim. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a heavenly assistance. Le'gomar Ba'adoy Lahashlim Mashachosa B'teva Va'anushi. In other words, that is the Koich of Kedusha. The Koich of Kedusha. So let me just conclude with you. There was a Yid in Yerushalayim. People from Yerushalayim heard the name of that Yid. His name was Lvov Chechik. Lvov Chechik was a very close acquaintance to the Brisker Rav. We'd meet with Lvov Brisker very, very often, and they would talk a lot in various discussions, various inyonim. Lvov Chechik knew a Talmud who was a Talmud of a Talmud who was Mishamish the Ketzoy Sachoish. So Sachoish is one of the greatest, of course, Mefarshim that is learned in all the yeshivas to this day, the Ketzoy Sachoish of all the Lomdish Yisvarim, Lomdish Yisugis. And this Talmud said that he was Mishamish his Rebbe Ketzoy Sachoish towards his old age, he was weak, he was Shvach, said, and Pochet needed help in getting dressed. And he put on, he says, a pair of socks, he says, on the Ketzoy Sachoish. And all of a sudden he cries out, he yells, he says, of Yiddish, he says, Tishtech! Something is prickly, something is pricking, something is... They took up the socks to try to find it, checked out. They couldn't find anything. There was nothing there, no foreign object. They turned the socks inside out. They figured maybe there's some rough wool. So he turns it inside out and puts it on. And again, as soon as he puts the socks on, he yells out in pain as if there's something sticking him. Something sharp, something pointy sticking him. He couldn't figure it out. They had the socks tested. It turned out that there was a cheshash of shatness in those socks. His kedusha was margish. People always talk about the ge'oinus of the Ketzoy. You don't realize how much tzitzkis there was behind that. To have the schus of becoming the goyin the Ketzoy Sachoish, and have the schus that the world learns that Torah. Many gedolim, a lot of gedolim. Not everyone had the schus that the world keeps learning their Torah. Not everybody had the schus. A lot of kedushin tahara goes into it. To have the very, very extra special Siyata Dishmaya. That's what Reb Chaim is saying. It's the koyach of the maizim of the person. You're zoichet to the radiant sparks of the neshama. To be able to elevate your mind. And to be zoicheh to the mystical portions of Torah. Amen. Can you rosh it?